Welcome to the podcast for Scotty's Blog. I'm your host, Scott Ewart. With me on the show today is candidate for Howard County Board of Education in District 5 in 2020, Gene Ryan. Gene, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you take a couple of minutes and let listeners know a little bit about you, about your background, and why you're running for Board of Education in 2020?
Sure. So I moved here in 2010 with my family, my wife, and our three children, now four. Prior to that, I was on the Board of Education in New Jersey at various levels, and I've been active in special education and general education for a long time. Before I even had children, I was on the Board of Education. So I understand the importance and the impact schools have on the community and on my family particularly. So when we moved here to Howard County, like most people, we heard great things and heard about the top quality education, the diversity of the population. It was very intentional that we moved here. We did our research and we thought the best. Shortly after moving to Howard County, we saw some challenges that with the public school systems that concerned me, especially since in New Jersey, we faced some of those similar challenges and we'd overcome them in terms of capacity and affordability. And that seemed to be a struggling point for Howard County public schools. So I began to speak out about it and ultimately decided that the only way to effect change is to be part of change and to become a stakeholder on that board. My wife is a special education teacher in Montgomery County, where she specializes in early intervention autism. So there's a lot of experience amongst my wife and I in terms of education. So I believe we bring, I bring a lot of experience and knowledge to the team. And I look forward to winning District 5.
Awesome. Well, now that folks know a little about you, let's move on to my favorite part, the question part of the show. I'm going to ask you three questions. Some may be a little different than folks I've asked other candidates, only because I like to mix it up.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I want to start by talking about the budget. Mm-hmm. The board sent a $50 million increase request in operating funds to the Howard County government this year. Before the coronavirus outbreak hit and businesses began to close, we knew that there was no chance for that request to be fully funded. Now, with businesses closed, we can guess that the economic forecast has not looked great over the short term. I have a two-part question for you. Was it right for the board to send a request that they know that cannot be fully funded? And number two, what do you think the board should be doing now in order to address the shortfall of funding from what was requested in the 2021 operating budget?
Sure. I'm writing down your questions as you're talking okay. Because I want to make sure I track them. So let me answer the first one. I heard that, was it right for the board to send a budget that could not be fully funded? So I guess that in and of itself makes it a claim that I'm not so clear about. The school has a responsibility to advocate for the students and the families of Howard County. So to fully fund schools is the right thing. However, it's incumbent upon the school to prove that they're using that money efficiently. So it's hard to ask for money when it takes a citizen 30 seconds to find waste and mismanagement. So I think to that extent, if the school could adequately prove that they were responsible fiscal guardians, then it'd be much easier to sell to ask for what you really need. I think they have to make the ask. I was very upset when the Board of Education cut the budget ahead of time. Without first giving the county council and the county executive the opportunity to evaluate that budget. That's their job, right? Their job is to evaluate what you said, ask for everything you need, right? And then let them make their adjustments. And then when it comes back in May, let the Board of Ed make the cuts if necessary. That said, the whole process is flawed, right? Like, it's ridiculous that a $1 billion budget was talked about for 6 weeks. I mean, come on. Like, so in New Jersey and in life in general, the most successful businesses, the budget is an ongoing process that has complete transparency and is talked about throughout the year. So this whole process is flawed. And I'll tell you in a minute, if I get the opportunity, something that just happened at this last meeting that has my jaw dropping in terms of budget and how the coronavirus has affected it. But the second part of that is I agree with you, right? We heard all this talk about the county not having the resources available, and I had no reason to not believe that was the case, although I hadn't actually heard it from the executive or the council. I heard a lot of people speaking for them, Member Taj and other members all said they don't have the money.
So let me give you some background on that. The county executive has sent letters to the Board of Education, outline what he expects the revenue to be this was pre-coronavirus, for next fiscal year. And the anticipated revenue for the county was about, I believe, $32.5 million of increased revenue to the entire county budget for next fiscal year over this past fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So the entire county revenue increase is expected to be $32.5 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. And the ask from Howard County Public School System was $50 million, which is why I asked that question.
So let me ask you that. So then how did he throw a $63 million Cultural Arts Center into the budget?
No.
$20 million is not capital. Look at the budget breakdown. $20 million is paid in one-time funds this year alone. So the question is, so you're right. The bottom line is, as a Board of Education member, our job is to advocate for the school system. It is the council's job and the county's job to make sure that they have the funding sources. That said, it's a partnership between the two, if that makes sense, right? So I'm not talking out both sides of my mouth. I'm being honest with you.
Right.
It's incumbent upon the school to request what they need, but prove that they're using that money efficiently. Then it costs X to operate the school. We can't change that, right? If you're using money efficiently, if you have proper oversight, if you're doing everything you should be doing, which, by the way, they are not. Let me be very clear. This Board of Ed is absolutely not providing the oversight that is necessary. There is massive waste and inefficiency, and I can show you, without a problem, that waste and inefficiency. But that said, when all is straightened out after I win the election, after the new board is seated and we have some innovative and business-minded people that bring a responsible budget and create oversight within the Board of Education and the Howard County Public School System, there will be a number. That number is X. Now, it's incumbent upon the county executive and county council to find that number X, because the board doesn't have taxing authority, unlike New Jersey, which did, which I really liked. The public had a vote in the budget. Here, they don't really have a vote, and that's not right. But if I could I segue real quickly, just something Thursday? So the budget, right, I I'm about to post about this online, because unfortunately, we can't really do anything for Thursday. I was shocked. You know, all this outrage about the redistricting, and everybody has a different position on that. And so now it's over. I'm like, where'd everybody go? Everybody's talking about coronavirus. I get that. But there was a Board of Education meeting the other day where it was dropped in our laps that the public school system just bought 20,000 laptop computers.
Wait. Before you address that, that's okay. One of my questions for you.
Okay. Let me not jump ahead. So, okay. And so along those same lines, then let's hit another item. They just approved buying modular classrooms. I don't have the figure right in front of me, but it was something like $170,000 a unit, to the tune of I think it was like something like $3 million. I could be off on the total figure. I'd have to look. And a school like Clarksville Elementary, to be clear, you want to understand the mismanagement, fiscal and otherwise, was at 75% capacity. Right? They had one modular trailer last year. They got rid of that modular trailer at a cost of I think almost $100,000. Now they're at 130% capacity in 1 year, and now they have to buy two new trailers at $500,000. So we just, by redistricting over capacity, one school, didn't bring the resources in. They don't have the support that those children should have, and Dr. Moderato admits that. And now we're putting them in trailers. That was an action done by the Board of Ed, costing taxpayers millions of dollars needlessly. And that's just one school. I have a whole bunch. I'll be posting about it later.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to my next question, because I got three of them. I want to get through all these relatively quickly, but, give you enough time to...
I understand. No, feel free. I'm a chatty Cathy. Feel free.
So you note on your website, redistricting, an outdated and flawed concept. We know the next board will have to deal with redistricting with High School 13, and also in the near future, deal with the still overcrowded schools after this last round of redistricting. Can you tell me what that statement on your website means in this context of future redistricting processes that the next board will deal with?
Sure. So I've talked about this at numerous forums and other things, but I appreciate for your listeners that we can go over it again. So the concept of redistricting in Howard County is unique to Howard County, right? So it is a compulsory action. It says, we tell you where you go to school. You don't have a choice. We tell you, you have to go here. You are forced to go to a certain school. And we do it, we're not even sure why we do it. Do we do it for overcrowding? Do we do it for equity? Do we do it for farms balancing? Like, why do we even do it? We don't even know. You know, the board themselves in the slash redistricting round couldn't even agree. It is such an outdated, flawed concept. Instead of empowering and inspiring kids and families, you force them to do things and you compel them to do things that they don't want to. So for example, the thought of moving kids around to make sure we're efficiently using our school spaces is a good one. But it's not the thought that we should force them. So for example, if we created magnets or IB curriculum programs, kids would want to go there, right? Because you'll create some, it's like Field of Dreams, you build it, they will come, right? So let me give you an example. In ARL, we have a part-time school there, right? Kids don't even go there full-time. And so you have certified nursing assistants, you have EMTs, all great jobs, right? They pay about $12 to $15 an hour. I don't know if $12 to $15 an hour in today's economy in this part of Maryland is going to make anybody ready for life. However, nearby schools and other states give licensed practical nursing in that same ARL setting, where you graduate making $68,000 a year as opposed to $27,000. So why aren't we keeping up with it? If we created programs that really inspired kids to be better and to meet, especially right in the face of coronavirus, wow, could you imagine if we graduate high schoolers as licensed practical nurses? That would be awesome. So the thought of moving kids around to maximize space is correct, but why don't we allow them or encourage them to move on their own by creating value in the system and using taxpayer money wisely? So that's one asset, that's one component of what I mean in that, you know, an outdated concept of forcing families to do things. We don't have to. We can empower them and they will voluntarily want to move.
Awesome, thanks. All right, final question, and this is going to come back to where you started. But, you know, we have to talk about the schools being closed due to the coronavirus outbreak, because we just have to. The school system recently announced their continuity of learning plan, a three-phase plan with staggering starting formal training dates for high school, middle school, and elementary schools, and a big investment, as you were just about to talk about, for Chromebooks for students in the millions of dollars. I know it's early in this announced continuity of learning plan, but I'm curious about what your thoughts on the plan are as announced at this point.
So that's a lot, right? So I was going to try to pull it up for you real quick. I have my computer open here to give you some figures, but let me first start out with, right, that the coronavirus is an unprecedented pandemic. Not unanticipated, unprecedented. There's a big difference there. Howard County Public School has a director for preparedness and security. So based on our performance to date, I kind of wonder what he's been doing. So I don't want to be overcritical because this is, right, this is a significant event, but my background is diverse, right? So I actually am on the front line as a paramedic, as a firefighter, and as somebody working at Homeland Security for my career. I understand the unique threat that this poses, and that's why several years ago I started nonprofit disaster preparedness to help communities prepare for pandemics and things like that. So this wasn't foreseen, so you know, we can't give everybody a pass. Oh, poor you, pandemic, nobody thought it would happen. A lot of people thought it would happen, and a lot of people were preparing for it. Our governor's doing a great job right now of hitting the ground running, getting us ready. School, not so much. So that said, specifically about the educational programming, I don't know what to say. They find themselves where they find themselves, which is unprepared for the current challenge. So they're doing, I have to believe they're doing the best they can. That said, I heard the announcement the other day about 20,000 laptop computers. And they said that 15,000 in the school and 20,000 more were going to be purchased. And for a total of 35,000 computers for a school with 59,000 kids. You're telling me at least half the kids in school don't have a device at home? That's staggering. So we look to the data, right? Like what data? Oh, they don't have the data because they failed to survey ahead of time. Although I'll tell you, my son at Athelton did receive a paper survey on the last day of school, asking him what devices he had. And so did my daughter at Limekiln Middle. So I don't know why we're acting like we haven't surveyed. Did only some schools do it? Was that a failure of leadership? Did they not, was this that they took the bull by the horns in some schools and others didn't? Or did some schools fail to follow director from the superintendent? I don't know, and the Board of Ed hasn't asked. So I don't know. But I guarantee when I am a board member, I'll be asking the hard questions ahead of time because I'll be thinking of these things before they occur. So let's compare Howard County's approach real quickly to others. DC identified, DC has a much more per capita population of people that fall 130% below poverty, which is farms. So they have a much higher percentage per capita. They identified the gap. They identified what they need. Not only do they need laptops, they need Wi-Fi hotspots. They got a grant from the Education Foundation for $1 million. Didn't cost taxpayers anything, and they had all the services they need 3 days into it. We talk about Montgomery County. Montgomery County identified the gap they had by a gap analysis, an actual proven statistical method to find out what they need. And they found that they needed several million dollars worth of supplies. And they asked Cisco if they could donate it. And guess what? Cisco did. They donated. It didn't cost them anything. Howard County, what do? We don't even bid it out. We just say we need 20,000, some random number. And it's, I guess, a single source purchase because I can't find any RFP for it. So it wasn't competitively bid. So most certainly we didn't get the lowest, most qualified bidder. And there's no Board of Education approval for it.
As a guy that used to buy IT equipment in the government, there's probably a state contract that they hopped on the back of, which then you don't need to RFP it. If there's
well, if they did piggyback, it would still take Board of Education action. There's no Board of Education action. And even a board member said that. No, I'm with you. I agree with you that there may be avenues they took. And you can piggyback like we did with our portable trailers. However, we just found that we're paying $15,000 too much because we piggybacked onto a Baltimore County contract instead of using the local provider.
Okay.
So, but anyway, my point is that the Board of Education didn't authorize this purchase. So I'm wondering how it was made. And then to find out that it won't be ready till May when every other district that I, well, let me not overstate it. I'm sure some districts that are having difficulty procuring electronic devices, but I'll tell you regionally, these other bigger districts like ours haven't had a problem. They've done it and it's done. Us, we have to wait till May. It's unbelievable. Now for the deal clincher, when Ananta Ejibu, a good personal friend of mine, was on the board just 2 years ago, this very issue came up, Scott. What happens? How do we deal with farms and disadvantaged children? How do we make sure they have the electronic devices? I watched the video of it the other day to make sure I understood exactly what happened because I remembered it because I've been involved in the Board of Ed for many years. So I remember this conversation. And he directed, and the Board of Ed directed the superintendent to do a strategic IT plan, which they did, which they lowered the number of computers per student to a ratio that would meet the need. And then they authorized the spend of $15.6 million last year. And you know what? They have those computers now. So why do we need 20,000 computers when we just spent $15.6 million and to buy all these new devices in conformity with the new IT strategic plan, which supposedly addressed the needs of every child in the district? So I don't understand what just happened. And why did nobody talk about it at the last board meeting? Why did nobody say anything? Why did no board member ask anything? How did the funding get approved? Why is this inconsistent with our IT goal? What happened to the $15.6 million in computers the school just bought last year? So these are all very good questions that nobody seems to be asking.
Those are very good questions.
Sorry, I talk a lot.
No. I enjoy this conversation. Look, those are your three questions. You survived. You and I could do this for another hour, I'm sure.
Easily, yeah.
You know, I'm doing three questions with every candidate.
Sure.
But look, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of share any final information with the listeners that you want to share.
So I think probably one of the most important things is that the way we're going to vote, the way your voice is going to be heard, let me back that up. The most important thing every listener has to do is vote, right? Hopefully for me, but if not, vote, because it doesn't matter. You get one chance to have your voice really be heard, and it's through your voting. So as some may be following, and I don't know when this podcast will air, but we're anticipating the governor to make a final ruling on the elections on April 3rd. In terms of how they'll be conducted, it looks like they're leaning towards a 100% mail-in ballot. So that is really going to change the way this works, right? Everybody's going to have the opportunity to sit in their living room, cast a ballot, and send in a prepaid envelope. It's not going to cost anything. So I encourage all listeners to do their homework, not just on what candidates say, but what they've done, what their experience is, and to make an informed decision, because this is a real opportunity to have your voice heard, and I would hate to see people pass on that chance.
All right. Well, Gene, thanks for joining the show today. I really appreciate it, and I wish you a lot of luck in the upcoming primary.
Great. Thanks, Scott.
Final note for listeners, the primary election date for Board of Education has been moved back to June 2nd because of the coronavirus outbreak. Complete details have not been released. As Gene mentioned, they're considering an all-mail-in option. That will be decided next week, probably, by the governor. I will continue to report out on what the state Board of Elections or the governor puts out in those regards on the blog. That's it, folks. I hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, continue to practice social distancing. This is Scott E. signing off.